Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 291 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we discuss the hiring of Nebraska's new athletic director, Troy Gannon. I don't know what's happening to my voice. I gotta stop. We also get excited about the start of spring football.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at HuskerPod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. Go Big Red! Go Big Red! Justin, the problem is whenever I start to do a voice, it's only good for about like two sentences and then it like just devolves into weirdness. I don't know if you're that way with accents or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. There's like a few phrases. Well, where it really catches me, I guess, is when I'm reading. I've been reading this book to my kids and I'm trying to do characters from other movies. Like for the cat that's kind of mean, I'm making him sound like Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
And then there's one character that is supposed to be like Scarlett O'Hara, and I can do it for a while, but then they all kind of start to sound Irish.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, you know what's funny is your Jack Nicholson sounds a lot like the air conditioner unit from the opening scene of The Brave Little Toaster. Which I think was a Jack Nicholson impression.
Oh.
So that's another deep nostalgia pull for our listeners, if anybody is familiar with that film.
Saddest movie ever.
It's kind of a bummer.
We haven't watched it with the kids yet. I'm still emotional from childhood.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably better watching that one when you're, you know, I'd say around 7, 8, 9. I think I was first exposed to it around like 4 or 5. So, yikes.
They turn the cars that are like people into little squares of metal.
Worthless. There's a song called Worthless. I think the name of it is Worthless. It's all about electronics becoming obsolete.
Once drove them into a wedding. Once drove them into a wedding.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the off season.
Hey, new leadership at Nebraska.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, and not just, well, that was quick. So we got Troy Dannon coming from a brief stop over at Washington after a longer stop over at Tulane. And before that, Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
I think he's a Northern Iowa alum, so he's an Iowa guy. But then also, was it the day before or day after, the Board of Regents named Dr. Jeffrey Gold, the current chancellor of UNMC, as the priority candidate to be president of the University of Nebraska system. So I think it was on almost back-to-back days they named both those guys. I guess, and Troy is like on the job, right? It's not the president. He is the preferred candidate and he has to be vetted for a month. But I believe that the athletic director is rocking and rolling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched a little YouTube blurb about a 2-minute video of him introducing himself to the football team. So,
oh, I didn't even see that.
It was. I think it was the same day that the team was out on the out on the lawn in front of the Capitol. So, Yeah, it was pretty cool. He, you know, he said a lot of the right stuff, but one thing that he really kind of doubled down on was that Matt Rhule was one of the reasons he wanted to come and be the AD, that he thinks he's the right guy for the job. So that's cool.
Yeah, I can't remember if we said this on the last episode or if I've just been saying it since, but I feel like Rhule was the de facto athletic director for a while, and even if he's not really the athletic director, he is kind of the guy running the ship, so to speak. Like, his vision carries the day, whereas when Trev hired him, it was Trev's vision that carried the day, and everybody was going to get in line. Now, you know, it's the other way around, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm just trying to think. I wasn't old enough to really be conscious of the dynamics between Osborne and his athletic directors.
Right, yeah.
I know when Bob Devaney was a big personality as an athletic director, but it's not a big personality job anymore. Now it's a behind the scenes businessman position.
For sure, yeah.
Or woman, business person. So I don't really have many strong thoughts other than I think I tweeted early on, if he's good enough for Matt Rhule, he's good enough for me. If Matt Rhule's excited, I'm excited.
Yeah, that works for me. Yeah, I saw online on one of the forums somebody had sent something to the effect of, thank goodness that we don't have a bunch of former Huskers in leadership now, which, you know, I get that perspective, and I think it can work. I think Trev would have worked just fine if he decided to stay. So, I mean,
he was working.
Yeah. So at the same time, I do get the idea that some people have that, like, you don't want it to just turn into a good old boys club where maybe you're passing on the best option because you have some kind of affinity for somebody who used to be a player here or something like that. So, you know, I can see both sides of the coin. I'm just excited about spring practice beginning. I think Rhule's awesome, and that's all that I really care about.
Yeah, well, I'd agree. I would agree with that. I don't have much to say. I watched an interview with Jessica Cootie did with him, and I mean, there's no red flags.
Sure.
And I think, you already said it. I think you said it really well. Like, Rhule's happy. We're happy. I really don't have any other original thoughts.
Yeah.
And I've known we've been planning on recording. So I think it's all just kind of exhausting. And basketball was tough this last weekend.
Gosh. Yeah. You know, though, I will say this, you know how last week I was kind of just saying, like, my attitude was, whatever, let's just move ahead. Let's put this behind us because there's no point in dwelling on it because that doesn't accomplish anything. I think that on the whole, people have already moved on. Like, there was that initial vitriol that you saw online, but that kind of went away, I think, with March Madness beginning and all of the attention that the basketball teams were getting. So it's a shame they, you know, the men couldn't advance at all and the women are already out. So it is what it is.
My bracket's busted because I picked Nebraska to go all the way.
Well, thank you for being a homer. That's what we are on this podcast.
I can't remember if I said this when we recorded last. I had another friend pick. So I have a Nebraska-Iowa State final.
Okay.
And with Nebraska winning. And sure, he has Nebraska Iowa State final, but he had Iowa State winning. Why did you take Nebraska all the way and then the final decide to be like, well, this is a bridge too far?
Because he wanted to crush our dreams.
That could be it.
As so many Nebraska haters are wont to do.
Nebraska has crushed our dreams on their own.
Yeah.
We do not need the help of haters.
So anyway, I will say this. I think it's funny that you mentioned, like, no red flags with Troy Dannon. I was looking at his Wikipedia page beforehand, too. It's, like, got nothing. So, yeah. Like, that's really good, actually. I'm okay with that. Like, there isn't, There's always concern when you're on Wikipedia and you're scrolling down through somebody's bio and then there's the controversies section. It's like, oh no, what did this guy do?
No, I had the exact same thing. I looked up earlier what I could read off of Wikipedia, and sure, there's nothing there.
Yeah, so that's good. And to be clear, I wasn't sure if this was 100% clear. There is no controversy section for Troy Dannon on Wikipedia. It's literally a quick blurb about who he is, where he grew up, and his career. And then there's references. So there you go. Before Washington kind of did a good job of sticking around for a while and getting work done at his previous, his two previous positions in Northern Iowa and Tulane. So that's good.
I mean, if I was Washington, would I be upset? Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it kind of makes you wonder, well, I think you brought this up, maybe not. I don't know where I heard this because we didn't know that this guy was coming in when we last recorded, but I remember you mentioning somewhere that he's got family in Iowa, so maybe it was just one of those, oh man, the right, you know, the perfect fit presented itself, so I'm going to take it now because I might not get the opportunity again, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember if I said that to you or if you heard it, because I think that it might be where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
Being as he was the Northern Iowa athletic director, and that's where he graduated from, I'd imagine he's from that neck of the woods.
Sure.
So, yeah, being close to family is important.
Yeah.
And then with Jeffrey Gold, that of the two finalists that we talked about in the last episode, it's definitely who I would have preferred. He has been the chancellor at UNMC through massive growth. I don't remember how long, maybe 14 plus years. And if you've spent much time down around the UNMC campus, it's just gradually taking over.
It's taking over Omaha. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just massive. And so that's brought so much money and even prestige to the area. Think about, where were the first coronavirus patients? Where were the Ebola patients?
Yep.
In Omaha or in Nebraska because of UNMC. And I don't know if you remember this, but he was also, while being UNMC chancellor, he was also UNO chancellor for a couple years they were having their chancellor search.
Interesting.
And then after they put Joanne Lee into that role, he's been in some sort of assistant to the president role. So he's just an extremely capable person, very bright. But what this does mean is, if you stop and think, got a new president pending. Rodney Bennett is a new chancellor at UNL. Joanne Lee is one or 2 years, maybe a little longer on the job at UNO. The longtime chancellor at UNK, Doug Christensen, is retiring at the end of the school year. And now the chancellor of UNMC is being promoted to president. And on top of that, you've got a new athletic director at UNL. So it is a time of transition at Nebraska. And if that's, you know, sometimes fresh ideas are important. We're getting them.
Yep.
It's all going to be fresh.
And speaking of fresh, the grass is green on the practice field at Nebraska.
The new weight room is open. I'm not sure how much of the Go Big project is open, but they're starting to do stuff in there.
Did you see the tweet where somebody had posted a photo of the weight benches, or rather the machines that they have in the weight room?
Yeah, I've seen some things. Yeah.
Oh, the thing I'm thinking of specifically is on the weights when it hits the 27 mark. Every 27 in the weight room has a halo around it.
Oh,
it's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Maybe we should explain the significance of that to any potential new listeners. You want to take that, Justin?
No. If you don't know, I feel like everybody knows.
Okay. Well, I mean, just there might be people who are relatively new fans who are listening to this podcast. So you can Google the name Sam Foltz, and that'll get you the information you need.
Much loved punter at Nebraska who passed away in a car accident while he was still a student athlete.
Yep.
Would have been a team captain as a punter.
Yep.
So exceptional person.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it is interesting to be having this conversation about spring practice beginning when the forecast, at least in Omaha overnight, is for snow. I don't know about you in Lincoln if you're getting any of that, but yeah, I think they closed part of the interstate today out in western Nebraska. So
yeah, yeah, they had some blizzard conditions out there.
Spring has sprung.
I didn't get out for a run this morning, and I ran and ended up running after work, and it was easily 15 degrees colder, and the wind was strong, and no fun.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I was really hoping that there'd be some kind of a press conference today, but I guess they're keeping things close to the vest so far. No media was allowed, so we don't really know too much about you know, the first day of practice, but it is happening, and the countdown to the spring game begins. I believe it's the 27th of April. Is that right? So we're just over a month away from the spring game.
I need to get my tickets. I still haven't done that.
You haven't gotten your tickets yet?
You know where I do need to get tickets for? The Omaha Supernovas, your Major League Volleyball team. They've exploded onto the scene with record crowds and a fan experience that's second to none.
Yeah. You can witness world-class talent at the CHI Health Center in downtown Omaha. Have fun with your family and your friends and get to know this team and feel the energy that they're bringing to Nebraska.
Don't wait to be part of history.
History, history.
Secure your single match tickets today at supernovas.com. That's supernovas.com.
Yeah, so if you're making a to-do list, dear listener, you need to get tickets to the spring game because, you know, the clock's ticking just over a month. And you also need to get tickets to go to perhaps your first Supernovas game. Or maybe you're already all in on the Supernovas and you've been to several games. If you are a big fan of the Supernovas, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Back on spring football, I hopped on social media, and there was a video that Nebraska at Husker football posted. It's got 9 little videos on one giant image and shows a bunch of exciting things happen. They're basically in the track and field portion of the practices where they're not wearing shoulder pads or pants, but they do have helmets on with those goofy 7-on-7 padded helmet things, you know what I'm talking about?
Those big boys, yeah.
They make it look like their heads are giant and their bodies are small. I'm sure they're concussion proof.
Wasn't there like a video game where the heads were huge? I'm trying to remember what that was.
Super Punch Out?
No, I'm specifically a sports video game with huge heads. I don't know.
Super Punch Out?
Specifically like a football or baseball or something like that. I guess, yeah, boxing is indeed a sport. Like a field sports game.
Wasn't NBA Jam? Didn't it have big heads?
Yeah, that might be it.
I remember playing Sega Genesis in the basement of a friend's house and being like, you can get Bill Clinton's head on one of the basketball players, but I never figured it out.
That's funny.
Did you ever figure that out?
No, not at all. I don't.
He's on fire. That's one that I think was.
Yeah, I think that one was lost on me. I didn't know about that. I remember that. I also remember more often than not, I was hearing, "Puts up a brick."
Cause you were bricking in the video games. That's got to be painful.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Here's a sports reference that's, I guess, not up to date anymore. So when my grandparents sold their house and went to the retirement community, I grabbed they were like, take some of our stuff. Like, you know, we don't need it all. And so I grabbed their 1994 Huskers Wheaties box.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's sitting in my office and I was talking to a younger colleague and the other day, and after a moment she said, "Hold on, is there a cereal box in your office?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's a Wheaties box." And she just looked at me blankly. And I was like, that was a thing? Like, sports champions on Wheaties? You don't know that? Okay." And so then I Googled Wheaties and showed, you know, Michael Jordan and Carl Lewis and all. I guess, these are all older pictures, I guess. And I was like, it's the Breakfast of Champions. And you look at the box and it says Breakfast Champions right on there. But the first ingredient is wheat. The second ingredient, sugar. I mean, I guess Wheaties isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I felt old.
Yeah, I would. It's kind of like when people like reference, I don't know if you've had this experience, but in the workplace over the years, I've had people reference like sitcoms from the 70s. Like a big one that I finally have like been able to piece together a little bit of is WKRP. Did you ever hear about that? Like the whole turkey drop thing every year, people love to reference that. And I'm like, yep, that's completely foreign to me.
There was a whole summer vacation where my family watched WKRP on Nick at Night every night.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I've seen a fair amount of that. I definitely know that reference. And you should too. Do your research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think this is funny. A few moments ago, I was trying to find which game it was that had the big heads. It must be NBA Jam because that's certainly, coming up quite a bit, but there's actually there's an article on thegamer.com, the 9 best big head modes in games. Apparently this is a thing. So Rise of the Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, those games had, a big head mode, GTA trilogy, the Batman Arkham series. A lot of these screenshots are super goofy looking. But number 2 was NBA Jam, and then number 1, which I can't remember if we ever did this as kids. I remember hearing about this. GoldenEye had a big head mode.
I don't remember that.
Maybe that's just something that I've seen since we were kids, and therefore I'm kind of like... It's funny how things come full circle, because I believe we were talking about GoldenEye the other night.
You and me?
Maybe you weren't part of that conversation. It was at the fish fry. Speaking of, everybody, I went to my first fish fry ever this last Friday night. And it was with Justin and a couple of other friends from high school. It was pretty cool to catch up and enjoy each other's company and have a whole big pile of fish.
What'd you think?
I thought it was fine. I was legitimately surprised by how much my car smelled like fish the next day. You know,
And you didn't drive back to Lincoln.
Yeah, as a youth leader, I've had many a Little Caesars pizza in my car, right? And so I'm used to coming into my car the next day and smelling the latent scent of like nasty oil tainted cardboard and pizza commingling in the air, right? So that's not foreign to me, but the fact that there was actually never any fish in my car, that I was the thing that smelled like fish and then that stuck around in my car, that was powerful. A little concerning, or disconcerting rather.
Disconcerting. Yeah, I guess I didn't warn you to, like, every year the first thing we do when we get home is just throw everything in the laundry.
Right.
The first year we went was probably back in law school, and I remember a friend from Lincoln who came with us. He just like went straight to bed that night.
Oh no.
Without taking a shower or anything. And he's like, huge mistake. Now my bed and my room smell like fried fish. Ugh.
What was funny to me too is that I legitimately had the thought earlier that day when I put those jeans on, I was like, maybe I can wear these again tomorrow.
Not without a good washing or two.
Nope. And I especially did not, I wasn't able to wear those jeans, but we don't need to go into that.
What'd you think of the fish itself?
The fish was fine. I want to ask you, you had 3 plates of fish, is that correct?
I did.
You had 3 plates of fish.
And fries, yeah. Yeah,
and then what did you do the next morning?
Oh, well, and then after that we had ice cream, which you declined to join us for.
Oh, yep.
The ice cream kind of put me over the top stomach wise. And then I did a 10 mile run the next morning here in Lincoln.
Did you keep it all down?
Oh yeah, I did. But wow. I had a terrible night's sleep.
I bet.
I had a terrible night's sleep. We had, a kid not feeling well in the middle of the night. On top of all that, I had a dream. Was it that night? I can't remember if it was.
You had a fish dream.
Friday. And, it was either Friday and a Saturday. Maybe it was Saturday and a Sunday. I had a dream and where I was just with my family, just in my house. And my grandpa opened the door suddenly and popped into the room. And he hadn't been a part of the dream. And it surprised me so much, I woke up.
Oh, wow.
Has that ever happened to you?
Got jump scared by your grandpa.
By my grandpa, so much that it woke me up.
I don't know if I've had that happen, but I mean, I've had things happen in my dreams that then prompted me to wake up because they were so jarring that aren't necessarily scary.
For example?
Oh, okay. Nothing specific comes to mind about like the jump scare wake up, but I do specifically remember as a child, I dreamt that I was trapped in a room without any doors. So I couldn't get out. And creepy. In the dream, I figured out I was dreaming. And so I was like, I don't know how to wake up. So in my dream, I started shouting for my mom. Like, I was like, mom. I actually woke up mid-mom. So, like, I became conscious as I finished the word mom. So, it means that I was definitely shouting for my mom while I was still asleep.
Wow.
So, like, I remember waking up and just being like, oh, okay, I'm awake now.
Did anybody come?
No. So, it must have just been, like, I don't know how long it went on, you know. I was dreaming, but... Yeah. It's one of the few times I've never really, I think maybe once, twice, three times, certainly no more than three times have I ever had a lucid dream. So.
An elusive dream?
No, a lucid, L-U-C-I-D?
I was just messing with you.
Okay. I just didn't know if you had ever heard of that because not everybody has. Sure. So.
Yeah.
Have you?
You're talking about where you're aware that you're dreaming?
Yeah.
I think so, but I couldn't point to an instance.
Okay. Yeah. I've never had sleep paralysis, thankfully.
Where you're just paralyzed in your sleep?
Where you are conscious, but your body hasn't woken up yet. So like your mind is awake, but your body isn't awake yet. So it's like you're trapped in your body. Can't get up.
Help, I'm trapped in my body and I can't get up.
A lot of people will have very vivid hallucinations as a result of that, which is not good. So
don't, that's like a nightmare of like having a surgery or something where you're
which has happened to people.
Oh, for sure.
So.
I don't know why we're talking about this. It's pretty grim.
It's because it's the off season. Oh boy. Well, I think that'll do it then, Justin. If we're at this point where we're talking about sleep paralysis, that was not on my bingo card for tonight's episode. That's for sure.
Oh, good one. We're not even trying to be goofy. It just happens.
Yep. Yep.
Well, so you want to come to the next year for a fish fry then?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I'm in. Yeah, that'd be fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, that was fun.
Cool.
Hopefully it's not so cold, and hopefully it's also not the same night as a Nebraska March Madness game. Because
now you have me wondering when Easter is next year.
I don't know. But that did change the experience for sure.
Sure.
All right. Well, hey, go Big Red, Mike.
Hey, guess what?
What?
April 20th next year, Easter. So it'll be a little bit later in the season. So hopefully it'll be nice and warm.
Yeah,
and
there will be no
football, or rather no basketball games to worry about come late April. So anyway.
All right.
You already said it, so I'll say it. Go Big Red.